we offer something a bit different for this series of podcasts. Life Between the Vines visited Chicago last month for the Alsace Rocks event. There's not enough great things you can say about these fantastic wines. So here we offer interviews with four winemakers growing each of their family legacies in wine. In fact, they do rock Alsace. For the third part of Alsace Rocks, we offer podcast number 338, featuring Anne Trimbach of Maison Trimbach. Be sure to catch the partner video on our YouTube channel. We're with Anne Trimbach of Domaine Trimbach. How are you doing, Anne?
Very good, thank you.
What a great event. A great opportunity to learn about the fantastic wines of Alsace. When you're in this position of promoting it, what's the first thing you really want to talk about? What's that one thing you really feel you want to get out for people to understand about Alsace?
Oh, there are so many things. I don't know where to start. But let's say that Alsace is magical. In one word, Alsace means magic to me. For the wines, of course, for the food, for the landscapes, for the people as well. They are very generous and entertaining to my point of view. And in terms of wines, because that's what we do, there is a wine for every moment, and that's what I love about Alsace. And I really love white wine in general, more than red, and that's very personal, but we produce 90% of white wines, and there is a grape or a wine for every moment in life.
The difference with Alsace is these white wines, it's typical to say they're special, but there's really something about them, especially these aged wines we tried going back to a long 1976. They were incredible. They held up beautifully.
And yes, Alsace wines have the, not all of them, of course, but most of the great Alsace wines from Grand Cru Terroir or great places can hold for many, many years. And there are wines that you can also enjoy when they are very young. So
you have another winery with an incredibly lengthy history. How many years has the winery been around?
Almost 400, not there yet, but soon, 1626. So. Oh.
Doesn't that just kind of make your mind go, wow, this is a lot. This is some serious responsibility that you have.
Very much so. And it's funny because when I started to work with my family 11 years ago, the question coming back all the time is, oh, you must have big shoulders to be able to take that. And at first, you know, when you start, you're like, oh no, it's easy. I mean, it's just. But now the responsibilities are more important than they used to be 11 years ago. Now you feel it, okay. You can't make anything wrong in a way.
You sure don't want to. And you're the first female winemaker in the family, correct?
Yes.
So you have become a part of history.
Probably, yes. And I'm not the official winemaker. My dad is still the winemaker. He's 62 years old. He feels he's quite young and he can continue for many, many years. And the next winemaker will be my cousin Julien, who is training right now.
So you've chosen a different path within the winery.
I decided to go mostly on the road and to travel to spread the message because of me. I'm like that. I like to share. I like to meet with people. But I'm also a bit in the cellar and in the vineyards to follow, because if you don't know what's happening at the winery, you can't tell anything to the people you meet.
So in this travel that you get to do for the winery, which is, I'm sure, very exciting, but also, do you find it a challenge that you're promoting a wine that some people don't really understand?
I guess I've been very lucky, even though I hear very often that people say to me, I don't like Riesling, I think it's too sweet, and blah, 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 blah. I'm selling, I would say, probably quality wines, and I've never been refused anything. You know, I'm selling great wines, and I've never heard anyone telling me, I don't like it, I don't want it. It always brings joy or smile on people's faces. So maybe my job is too easy. Maybe my father makes two beautiful wines, I don't know, but yes, it's easy in a way. But on the other side, I would love not to hear anymore that Alsace wine is tough to sell from a sommelier mouth. But I think we are getting there. Soon we will get there.
Wouldn't you agree that the number one point of selling it is getting people to taste it? Once they taste it, there's no sell involved. It's done.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. I think that it's difficult when you have people who say they don't like something.
Yes.
you do need to get them to try. That's the only way you can open their minds, right?
Yes. Sometimes people tend to refuse to try the Rieslings we produce. Like, they have an already made image in their head, like, oh, I'm not going to like Riesling because I've never liked it before. And sometimes I have to insist a little bit, like, you have a fake idea of Riesling, please try my Riesling. And then they try it, and then they're like, oh, I love Riesling, it's dry. Yes, I told you.
It's an image problem with Riesling, isn't it?
Yes.
That people
don't
understand that more than half of the wine recently made is dry. And even here in the United States, we have many areas of the Finger Lakes here, if you're familiar
Absolutely.
With it, Michigan.
Which are wonderful, yeah.
Oregon, and they're fabulous wines. I've already tossed you one tough question, so I'm going to toss you what's turned to be the toughest question of all. Ooh, you have a frightened look on your face. For the time you've been doing this, well, actually, I didn't ask you a question. How long have you been involved in the family winery?
It's going to be 11 years in July.
It's an interesting commonality between all of you here. So far, everybody's around that same period of time. Interesting. So for all the time you've been doing this, and I'm sure you've done a fair amount of interviews with the press, what is the question that you don't get asked that you'd like to be asked?
Oh, that's a very tough question, yes. I can say which questions I'm asked all the time which I don't like, but the question I would like to be asked... That's a really tough question. It might be the toughest question I've ever been asked in 11 years.
Please remember me for that.
Oh, yeah.
When I was talking to Melanie Pfister, she talked about her blends being secret. Are you the same way at your winery? Are they not printed on the label or not talked about what's actually in there, the percentages?
Actually, we don't make any blend. It's always 100% of the grape, 100% Riesling, Pinot Gris, Gewürztraminer, no blend. Except Pinot Blanc, which is 80% Auxerrois, 20% Pinot Blanc, labeled Pinot Blanc.
Sure.
And that's the only UFO in the making of the wines. Everything else is no blend.
That's good. I like how you say that. We were chuckling, so our listeners understand there was this question about Pinot Blanc, which was a bit of a silly question. But interesting, what a complete contrast to, again, Melanie Pfister to Domaine Pfister. The totally different approach to the kind of wines. What other wines are you making?
We produce 50% of Riesling, dry Rieslings. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different Rieslings, almost every vintage, if we can produce all of them in a dry style, of course, from the classic that you see everywhere to the Reserve to the Vieille Vigne, which is a quite new wine, Frédéric Emile and Claude Saint-Jung being the most popular and well-known collected wines. And then we have new additional Grand Cru wines as well, very limited quantities. And then Gewürztraminer, Pinot Gris, Pinot Blanc are the main focuses beside Riesling. And then we do a little bit of Pinot Noir and Muscat, but very little. And all these wines are produced in the same style, with precision, purity, in a quite dry style. Gewürztraminer not being bone dry like the Rieslings, but as disciplined as we can, I would say.
So very limited quantities of reds, just
yes.
Pinot Noir and anything else? In red?
Just Pinot Noir, yes. 2 Pinot Noir, 100% Pinot Noir, each of them. One we purchase grapes mostly, and the other one from a single vineyard, Rottenberg. 2 wonderful Pinots in a very classic style of Alsace, meaning no wood.
No wood.
No wood.
That's something that a lot of people would really appreciate. Is that just the idea that you feel that the wood is too influencing, it's overwhelming? How does that work?
I think wood can be fantastic with Pinot Noir. Don't take me wrong. It's just that we think our Pinot Noir style can't handle the wood. Voilà. The Pinot Noir style we want to make couldn't handle the wood. It would hide the fruits. Voilà. But there are some amazing Pinot Noir made out of wood in Alsace, for sure. But not our style. And maybe the vineyards don't allow us to make that.
Are you doing anything like the concrete eggs, the clamphora, the terracotta?
No, not really. We have a very kind of traditional cellar with old casks, which are more than 100 years old, the oldest one being from 1717. We use stainless steel, of course. A lot of stainless steel, and we have those old glass and concrete tanks which look like big bathrooms, but they are amazing. They look ugly, but they are amazing. It's very neutral. We look for the most neutral material. We look for the most neutral container to make the wines.
Interesting. I've not seen those before.
They have been destroyed almost everywhere, but we kept them because my grandfather always said to my dad, and my dad has always said to me, these are amazing. They are ugly, but they function. It's easy to wash, it's easy to work with. They keep the fresh and the cold. I mean, it's great material. But it's true that you see them mostly in Alsace or northeast of France. They were built in Lorraine or Moselle. And many wineries have destroyed them to go to stainless steel or to do something else. And now there is this big trend with amphoras or eggs. But we didn't start there yet. And yes, I don't know if it's going to come in the future. Let's see, with the new generation, you never know what can happen.
Well, never. No, I don't think anybody could have predicted 30, 40 years ago
exactly.
Clay coming back, clay amphora coming back. So that's kind of interesting, or eggs. But what, I mean, was it because they're ugly they were destroyed? Or they did the job, obviously. Your dad
sounds
like
he was
strong about them. Is this the kind of thing that makes you a little bit crazy about the business from time to time, that things seem to be more based on popularity than practicality?
Sometimes, maybe, yeah. But everybody can do whatever they want.
That's true. Mm-hmm. All comes down to being able to sell it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back to the question before, see if anything popped into your head at all as to the things that you have not been asked about.
Maybe I should take the question the other way around. I'm always asked the same questions. Sometimes the same stupid questions, 10 times a day. Most of the time when I meet people, they want to know where I was the previous week, where I'm going tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising to me.
In French we say la langue au chat. I don't know. Langue au chat, the tongue from a cat. Literally it doesn't mean anything, but I really don't know.
I can live with that. It's an answer.
Surprise me.
So what's your favorite drink? What do you like to drink?
I like to drink wine. Water sometimes as well.
Yes.
Coffee. But I'm really into wine, and mostly wines that are balanced and well made. It doesn't matter about the grape or the location, the country. I tend to prefer wines with acidity, meaning more north than south in general. I like balanced wines, as long as it's well made and I can feel it. I hate wine that are sticky, heavy, and yes, I like acidity, I think.
Isn't it fair to say that in the end, for somebody who's new to wine or who is on their journey, that that's really what they should be seeking out, is balance?
Absolutely, yes. Not a label, not a name especially, but yeah, the balance in the wine, that's our keyword at the winery. If you ask my dad, like, Pierre, tell us about your philosophy, you would expect an answer lasting 10 or 15 minutes probably, because we expect him to tell you what we do in the vineyard and then what he does in the cellar, but he would just say balance, 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 and people would laugh a lot, but that would be the only answer he would give.
It's a good answer. It's a great answer. So Anne, do you have a tasting room at your winery, or?
Yes, we do.
And so for our listeners who want to learn a little bit about you, or if they could come visit, what is your website?
We have a website that is very easy to remember, trimback.fr. And you can reach us through the website, of course, through Facebook, Instagram, it doesn't matter which way you take, it works, we answer. The best to come at the winery would be to take an appointment, because it's true that depending on the season, of course, but during the summer and even during the spring and around Christmas, there are lots of people. And sometimes we have difficulties to manage because it's not a big tasting room, because nobody thought that it would be so important. No tourism and people interested in wine. So if you don't take an appointment, you might be surprised that sometimes there are only two women behind the bar and 40 people in the room suddenly without an appointment, and then you would have to wait a long time, and it might be warm and it might be annoying. So if you take appointments, it's much easier, but we are very welcoming in Alsace.
Smart. Well, I think people should come visit. I think it would be a great idea, and thank you very much for coming to the States and visiting us and explaining it to us, and thank you for being here today.
Of course, pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Santé.
Santé.
Learn more by visiting trimback.fr.
Thanks for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Additional original music by Ray Pfister. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak and Catherine Shearer. Copyright 2019.